Welcome back to House of Bravo, where we break down Bravo shows and personalities from a cosmic perspective. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader. Each week, we'll uncover the underlying energies shaping the drama both on screen and off, from current astro weather and events to deep dives into Bravo Liberty's energetics. This is your one-stop shop podcast to get your Bravo fix while learning to decode the language of the stars.
Hello, friends. Welcome. I have a lot to talk about today, so I'm just going to go ahead and get into it. Starting with our astro forecast, yesterday was Valentine's Day. We had Mars conjunct Pluto in Aquarius at 0 degrees. And honestly, I was expecting something kind of explosive, for lack of a better word. Mars, aggression, action, anger, motivation, Pluto, destruction, strength, power at 0 degrees of Aquarius. This Aquarius, I mean, it's tied to so many things. We can think about it from the humanitarian or the communal aspect. We could think about it from the technological aspect. And actually, I think I mentioned the past few weeks, my tech has been acting up ever since Pluto moved into Aquarius. Yesterday, my internet was hardly working. So I have been offline for a few days. I just feel like, first of all, I've been exhausted ever since the new moon. Like, I just feel drained. And I also, I mean, to be fair, I have a 2 in my human design profile. This is the energy of the hermit. And I do just need time here and there to kind of pull back into my world. So I think it's kind of a mixture of all these things happening. But yeah, I was kind of expecting bigger headlines to come out of yesterday. And maybe it's because my internet wasn't working that I just haven't seen, and actually things have been happening. I guess I'll find out in a day or two when things hopefully right themselves internet wise. But yeah, I'm surprised we didn't see more on a global scale yesterday, but I'm glad, because those things could have been very extreme. Then coming up, I think on the 19th of February, we're going to have Chiron conjunct the North Node in Aries. So Chiron representing the wounded healer. This is generally a wound within ourselves when we think of it from the natal chart, Chiron. It's a wound that we carry, usually something that we've kind of picked up at a young age. And over time, through evolution, through our soul moving through existence in our body, we hopefully come to a place where we can heal this Chiron in ourselves. Or if we don't heal it in ourselves, it becomes healed. And then in theory, we can then help others heal that same wound in themselves. But when we talk about it on a transit and on this kind of global platform, Chiron really can speak to our generational wounds, our family wounds, the wounds that are passed down to us. So when Chiron meets the North Node, which is destiny, purpose, what we're moving towards, it's a really big deal, because we kind of have this opportunity to understand these generational wounds and kind of like what they mean in the broader context of our life and our purpose. The last time Chiron met with the North Node was in 2008. So it takes Chiron approximately 50 years to orbit the sun. The nodes are approximately 27 years. I mean, things don't work exact in the sky. So these are approximations. And when we think back to 2008, I think like that was a big year for everyone. It's also interesting that that was a election year in the US, and now we are having this again in another very, I don't know if I'd say pivotal election year, but yeah, the timing is interesting. Let's just say that. So questions that we can kind of think of with this conjunction coming up is, who am I? Right? Like the basics of who am I in Aries. This is happening in Aries, the sign of me, the sign of I. This is an opportunity to heal ourselves. And it also is like, what makes me feel alive? What is my purpose? What am I here to do? Looking back in your family, what themes do you see? What patterns can you see? And so this is a time to kind of help heal, but it's not going to happen instantaneously. Do that soul searching now, but things might even become more clearer in kind of April or March when we have an eclipse that's going to be conjunct Chiron. So yeah, some big things happening in the sky. We did not have Potomac air this week. We did have the Super Bowl, and we had some interesting Bravo news kind of pop up that does seem serendipitous, but we'll get to that. So Larsa and Marcus, I mean, I'm sure everyone listening to this already knows, but they broke up on Super Bowl Sunday, or I should say they made it public on Super Bowl Sunday. I have a feeling it didn't just happen that day. They were already, he was with his dad. I'm pretty sure his dad lives in LA. I don't think that that just happened that way. But I do love that here Larsa is, this Cancer, so much Cancer energy. We've spoken about her Aquarius energy. Here she is using her technology post an Aquarius new moon to kind of like drop this bomb in a way where maybe she's not going to get so much, maybe it can slip through the cracks kind of thing. But sorry, Larsa, that is not how it worked out. So while this seemed a little bit out of the blue to the fans, and I use that term lightly because I am not a Larsa stan, I don't think this really came as a huge surprise to anyone. And then what I did find interesting is that here we have the episode this week of Miami Air, and Larsa's kind of being called out for how Michael Jordan feels about the relationship of his son to her. So I do wonder if this kind of, if this breakup or this breakdown of their relationship happened knowing that this episode was going to come out, and maybe it kind of re-ruffled some feathers or brought a past kind of argument to center stage. But we have seen them talk about this issue of children in the past, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's kind of the crux of things. Larsa's made it clear that this, that stage of her life is done. And yes, Marcus can love her children, but they're basically grown. He doesn't really get that opportunity to help contribute to raising them, which I guess this brings us to Miami. Let me just get into Miami since we're already kind of talking about Larsa and Marcus. So like to stay on the Larsa-Marcus train, yesterday was Valentine's Day. I saw today that they're refollowing each other on Instagram. That's not to say that this relationship is completely over. I only, you know, we'll see. And honestly, I really wish we knew Larsa's rising sign. I wish I knew where this energy was playing out for her. I also would love to know where Capricorn falls in her chart, because we all have every zodiac sign somewhere in our chart. So it's playing out somewhere in our life. We do not need a planet in a particular sign in order to have that energy. Everyone has Capricorn somewhere in their chart. Everyone has Aries somewhere in their chart. So no, Larsa doesn't have any Capricorn placements, but let's say, for example, if Capricorn falls in her 10th house, it can kind of speak to that hustler energy. Or if it falls in her first house, again, like it could come off as number one, being a stern person, who I kind of see Larsa as being. It could also manifest as you. First house is like you, who you are, your body, your being. it can play out as you kind of being that worker, that Capricornian hustle, that hustle. So Larsa does not have any planets in Capricorn, but I'm curious to know where that Capricorn is falling in her chart. Now, that's not to say that you need Capricorn energy in a certain place in order to be a hustler, in order to be successful, but people keep using that word for her. And kind of the other signs that I would associate that energy with, like Taurus, making sure that you have that kind of stability through your finances, even Virgo needing to kind of perfect and to serve in some way. Like all these earth signs would be very much tied to that. Even, I guess we can say that even her Cancer stellium of the Sun, the Mercury, the Saturn, it can be this drive to provide for your family. She has Mars in Leo, again, that kind of desire to provide and take care of your people. Larsa is all about her people, Venus in Gemini, her children, her family, her pride, like this, like she's all about her people. And actually, I would say that's why her relationship with Marcus, if it isn't over, I could tie it kind of back to that. Like once you're her person, her people, she's not going to let it go so quickly. She's not going to let you go so quickly. Although that Aquarius moon in opposition in by sign, because we don't know her time, to Mars in Leo, it could be this, once I'm done with you, I'm done with you energy. So same with that Venus in Gemini. I'm watching. We're all watching to see what happens with that. Adriana and Julia were on Watch What Happens Live together after the show aired. And well, first of all, Adriana was a hot mess, as she often is on Watch What Happens Live. I feel like she's someone who's like always trying to, take the stage, kind of be a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Not combative, but like, shocking. I feel like Adriana like really has this desire to shock, and yeah, well, her Mercury in Sagittarius is squaring her Uranus conjunct Pluto in Virgo. So that totally is like using your words to shock people, to kind of shut things down or to attempt to. Does she have a retrograde Mercury? She gives that vibe. Yeah, her Mercury is retrograde. It's like she's just always putting her foot in her mouth, but she's trying to say these like very extreme statements, and it ends up biting her in the ass. Anyway, on her Watch What Happens Live appearance with Julia, Julia mentioned she's not on speaking terms with Larsa. And it sounds like it's because of something that Marcus had said during the reunion. So I am so intrigued, because Julia is someone who's like super sweet, super understanding. She generally sees lots of different perspectives or where people are coming from. So for her to not be speaking to Larsa because of something that was said, it's like, what was said? I'm dying to know. And she said that we see a different side of Marcus. So very, very intrigued. So we go from Watch What Happens Live with our farmer Julia over to Beverly Hills, where we have Sutton and her horse. We know Sutton is a Sagittarius rising, and Sagittarius, well, it's literally the centaur, half horse, half man, which also Chiron is half horse, half man. I'm a Sagittarius rising, and three things you can bet that a Sagittarius rising is going to check at least one of the following boxes. One, into travel and or other cultures. Number two, is an archer, like literally does archery. And or number three, has some connection to horses. I love Sutton and her horse. And then at the end of the episode, we have Sutton apologizing to Erica and kind of, well, we talked last week about how Erica was needing kind of this not validation, but like acknowledgement from the women about the hurt that they've caused her and how it's hard for her to move on without them just kind of saying those I'm sorries. Well, when we look at Erica and Sutton's synastry, it's really quite interesting because they were only born a few months apart from each other. So a lot of their generational placements are the same. They both have Chiron and Aries. They both have Pluto and Virgo. They both have Uranus in Libra. They both have Neptune in Scorpio. So they have these shared entities, right? And then even when we look at their personal planets, we have trining moons. They both have air moons. Sutton's in Gemini, Erica's in Aquarius. Sutton's is going to kind of be more social, fun, flirty, what's the word I'm looking for? Gossipy. Erica's is going to be a little more cerebral, a little more detached, a little more matter of fact. Their Venuses are trining. So again, another easy, nice flow of energy between Erica's Cancer Venus and Sutton's Scorpio Venus. But when we think about kind of the energy behind this, like, yes, they're both water signs. So there's this understanding of this kind of emotional energy in some way. Both of these water signs are actually very guarded. Very guarded. And Venus represents your values, your morals, your style and how you love. But it's kind of these deeper things of foundational needs, desires. Erica's is in Cancer. It's kind of like always trying to protect itself, always making sure that it's safe. And Sutton's in Scorpio is going like it's also looking for safety, but in the terms of a deep understanding and foundation. So even though they have these kind of nice flow of energy between some of their personal planets, I think that even those trines cause tension. And then you have actual tension aspects. For example, Sutton's Saturn, her authority, her restriction, her discipline, her how she wants things put in a little box, basically, are in Taurus, and that's squaring Erica's her ambitions, her drive, her Mars. So Sutton kind of trying to put a damper on Erica's drive in a way, or belittling it, as I pointed out last week when Sutton said, like, this is big for you to have this opportunity. Like, no, being in Vegas on the main stage on like your show is huge for anyone. So this is definitely frenemies. And I just see it stopping there. I don't think that we're going to see them staying on the same page. Moving on to another on the rocks relationship, we have Kyle and Mauricio. And Kyle mentioned that, you know, these two have been married 27 years, which made me think, okay, they're at their Saturn return. You know, Saturn return happens between the age of 28 to 30 generally. Mauricio and Kyle were married on January 20th, 1996. At that time, Saturn was in Pisces. If we look at the transits now, so, you know, we've talked about Saturn squares, Saturn oppositions, how they're difficult times. We've also talked about Saturn returns on the personal level. We've talked about how a lot of the housewives have gone through their second Saturn return on their shows. We're going to talk about Alan Cummings in a little bit. He's going through his second Saturn return. So these are times of change, of restructuring boundaries and what you're willing to accept, where you're putting your strength, your energy, that determination, that you know, Saturn rules Capricorn, where you're putting that energy to keep working towards something. I mean, this is a time where they're either going to recommit to each other or move on. And we see them putting in the work-ish. I don't know. You know, like we see them trying, they're going to marriage counseling and stuff. But when Saturn is direct on their marriage Saturn, like, I wonder if that's going to kind of be a pivotal point in their situation, where it either goes one way or the other definitively. So that's something to watch out for later this year or moving into next year. I don't know when that is going to be exact. As a planet is moving towards that conjunction, so it's called applying. As a planet is applying to another planet, that's when the energy is kind of building, building, building in its strongest. The transits right now, I mean, the Saturn is still quite far from their wedding Saturn, let's say. But in, I think, like, May, June, I don't have the exact date, but I think we're going to start to see maybe more information come to light. I don't know how that plays out with their individual charts because I haven't pulled those up yet, but tensions are building. And that kind of confusion is probably building. And I think that's why we see it's like, yeah, they're working towards it, but is this still what they really want? So they're going to come to this apex of, are we recommitting to each other or are we moving on and away? But yes, I did think it was interesting when she said we were married for 27 years, my ears perked up. Because I was like, oh, I wonder if they're having their relationship Saturn return. And lo and behold, you know, like we talk about Kyle's chart, but just to quickly pull up Mo's chart, he also has Chiron in Aries, as does Kyle. So he's also kind of finding his own way. And we see this, like he's building this company. He's doing it for him. He's like going after something that's really important for himself. He's got natally Saturn in Taurus. So this kind of need to provide, this like kind of like a really strong desire for security and a willingness to work towards that security. These people are like generally kind of, cautious with money. Taurus, once again, representing material items, that security, that stability, your Saturn being there, that like restriction around those things. And I think like we see Mo's not restricted in his spending, which just means that he's going to need to drive harder to provide those things for himself. And that Saturn is sextiling his Mars in Cancer, kind of doubling down on that need to provide for your family, that need to provide that security for your family. Transiting Jupiter in Taurus is currently conjunct his Saturn, which to me speaks to that, like that a need to keep going towards this business that he's building. I mean, yes, the agency is fucking huge, but it could be huger. It could be bigger. It could be more. It could provide more stability. And we know that his daughters have gotten involved with the business. So like building this thing, this generational like entity of wealth to pass on to the younger generation, I feel like his blinders are just like on and he's focused on this legacy aspect of life and not necessarily as, you know, as we saw Kyle say in this episode, like you're not present now. You're thinking towards the future. You're not thinking about this present moment. And that's where Kyle has been brought to, especially since her best friend, you know, committed suicide. It like just emphasizes that each moment is so important. So right now they're clearly not on the same page. And yeah, so I think like later this year, as Saturn hits that conjunction, as it hits the point of where it was when they were married, I do think it will be interesting to kind of pay attention at that time to what is happening in their marriage. All right, so I had a poll up earlier last week, or I should say, I put a poll up last week to see if you guys would be interested in hearing about a little breakdown of Alan Cumming's chart. And the resounding answer was yes, which I was a little surprised about, but I'm going with it. It's funny because I was trying to think, it's like, I know who Alan Cumming is. I feel like he's always been in my awareness. But when I was trying to think of what do I know him from, I couldn't think of one movie or like anything where I was like, oh yeah, I know him from that. Then of course I look up his IMDb and he's in so many things. First of all, he was in Cabaret. He was wonderful in that. Also, he was in Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion. He was in the Spice Girls movie. What was that called? Spice World. He's been in Titus. He's like a Spy Kids, like some Josie and the Pussycats. Like, honestly, it's kind of funny because it like a lot of the stuff is kind of random and a little bit like, not a little bit, campy and silly. But then he also has some really serious acting. He does a lot of stage performances. So it's just this kind of interesting mixture of a career. He's definitely not pigeonholed into one thing. And wow, I did like a deep dive on his chart. So please bear with me as I walk you through. So Alan Cumming, he has a double A rating on his natal chart, which means that basically it's just kind of like, I'm pretty sure it means that there's an actual birth certificate that states the time. So it's confirmed, basically. He was born January 27th, 1965 at 8:20 a.m. in Aberfeldy, Scotland. I'm looking at his chart using the Placidus system, especially since we have an exact time of birth. This is the system, the house system that I prefer. It's kind of more, it's messier, and humans are messy. I just can't imagine a world where each house falls to one specific sign of the zodiac. And because of the longitude that he was born. So he was born extremely far north. The sizes of his houses are drastically shifted from where they would fall if you were looking at it from a whole sign perspective. So, for example, his ascendant is in Aquarius, and your ascendant always kicks off the first house of your natal chart. So Alan's first house encompasses the energy of Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries. He's got a huge first house. First house representing our body, our being, our us. It's like you. And his sun is also in his first house in Aquarius. So Alan is very Aquarian, and he comes off as such. It's kind of fun that we're doing this during Aquarius season. And I don't think in all the episodes of, or I should say in all the months of doing this podcast, I don't think a season, so like right now we're in Aquarius season, has ever been so heavily talked about through the energetics week to week, just showing up in all over the place. So very fitting that we're talking about Alan's chart right now, and he is so Aquarian. So yes, he's got an Aquarius sun, he's an Aquarius rising, and then he's got a Sagittarius moon. So very, in my opinion, lovely mixture of energy, because I've got a bunch of that. Now, what stuck out to me, the first thing I noticed when I looked at his chart, is that he has what's called a kite. And when we're looking at charts, we're looking at different patterns. There's like a lot of geometry that's going on in astrology. And a kite is a chart pattern that is comprised of a few different aspects going on. So the first pattern it's made up of is known as a grand trine, which consists of three planets that are all falling within the same element. For Alan, this is his Pluto conjunct Uranus in Virgo, his Jupiter in Taurus, and his Venus conjunct Mercury in Capricorn. So that's the grand trine that we're talking about. He's got a grand trine of Earth energy. He's going to be super grounded. It's going to be, honestly, this says money to me. Money is going to come easily. This kind of earthy nature, he's like, yes, he's got fire, he's got air, but he's going to have this very just like grounded sense to him coming from this grand trine. So the second pattern that we see with falling within a kite is, it's like a double sextile. These are kind of, it's a similar energy to the trine. It's this nice flow of ease and energy between things that understand each other. So with the grand trine, it's the element that understands each other. And then the sextile is taking this kind of apex point, or the head of the kite. You know what? This is very hard to talk through if you're not looking at it. So basically imagine a kite in your head, right? You're going to have a triangle with a smaller triangle sitting on top of it, which is the sextiles. And then you have this oppositional point between the apex and the, I don't know, the crux. I don't know what the like actual terminology of this is. So what's important about this grand kite, or sorry, this kite made up of a grand trine and the sextile and the apex that's in opposition to this other point? It's a rare arrangement and it brings excellent opportunities for growth. It allows people to kind of access their talents and reach their potential, because there's all this, there's a lot of this kind of easy flowing energy within it. However, you know, like in astrology, when things come too easy, they kind of fall flat on their face. Like they don't necessarily amount to anything because there's so much ease, because you're not pushed to kind of take advantage of the opportunities that this energy provides. But because it has this opposition, it helps to kind of like encourage your growth and to overcome obstacles and reach new heights. So kites often indicate people with exceptional talents. These people have balance, they're intuitive, they're creative, they're expressive, and they have a magnetic charm. And I think we totally see that with Alan. They also, like, people with this might get really unexpected chances or opportunities in their career. And I think that Alan going from, you know, from the stage, from theater, and also on the big screen, and now he is the host of this campy reality show. It fits in perfectly with his vibe. Also, he's from Scotland. It's taking place in Scotland. So like it makes so much sense, but then it also is kind of this random opportunity that's presented itself. With the specific planets that Alan has involved in this kite, it shows that he's both extremely creative and artistic. There's a spiritual element being involved because the apex for Alan's kite is Neptune. And there's also a transformational energy because he's got Pluto involved. So the kite in his case has a lot of planets. Like for a kite, you need at least four planets, but because of his conjunctions at play, Alan has Jupiter in Taurus, then he's got Uranus conjunct Pluto in Virgo, the apex point is Neptune in Sagittarius, and then he's got Venus conjunct Mercury in Capricorn. So whereas you only need four planets to make up a kite, Alan's got six. So got a lot of energy at play in this kite. And so, I mean, that's why it really stuck out to me. It's like so much of his chart is involved in this kite that we see. I briefly touched on this earlier, but Alan is also going through his second Saturn return currently, which started for him approximately March 2023 when Saturn entered Pisces. And it's interesting because Traitors season one aired in January 2023. So the airing of Traitors, I guess like kind of the finale of Traitors, was maybe coinciding with his second Saturn return. Like him coming back to the spotlight is totally a Saturn return story for him. This second Saturn return, or any Saturn return he has, is happening in his first house. So bringing him back into the spotlight on a huge stage, Pisces ruling, really like creativity, the ability to step into a different dimension, into someone else's shoes. Alan also, I mentioned his moon is in Sagittarius. This moon is conjunct his midheaven, which kind of speaks to his career as an actor, using your emotions in your career, in your work, tapping into other perspectives with it falling in Sagittarius. His moon is also squaring his Pluto and Uranus in Virgo. So to me, it's speaking to perfecting his craft, Virgo being about precision and repetition. This moon is also squaring his Saturn in Pisces. Pisces being a very creative and ethereal energy. Something else I find interesting is that his Mercury and Venus, which are conjunct in Capricorn, are falling in his 12th house, the house of the hidden, the obscure. your subconscious. On Traitors, he's known for his outfits, these extravagant outfits. It's clear they are luxurious. They are, oh man, they're so Capricornian, these outfits, but in a different way, in a unique way, because that rising, that sun, his ego and Aquarius in the first house, it's just like jumping off the screen. It's loud. It's loud. So even though, you know, Venus in the 12th in Capricorn, it might be kind of thought of as this more quiet luxury. Nothing's quiet with Alan. But at the same time, he's not wearing labels. It's not, it's just like his own style, his uniqueness that's being displayed. All right. So I mentioned that one of the placements in that kite that Alan has is his Jupiter in Taurus. And we currently have Jupiter in Taurus right now in the cosmos. So he's about to go through his Jupiter return. His Jupiter in Taurus is falling in the second house because I'm using Placidus system. The second house represents our values. So like kind of what we value. It represents finances and money. With Jupiter in Taurus falling in the second house, it's going to add a bougie, finer things in life kind of aesthetic. He's going to appreciate and value material items, comfort, luxury, all the things we associate with Taurus. And it also speaks to, I mentioned this about Candy last week, using your voice, Taurus ruling over the throat and speech, you could say. I read an article that was talking about how, you know, Traitors has been renewed for a third season already, and Alan's really trying to work with production and casting on putting more LGBT and queer voices on this platform. And that's also like clearly something that he values, something that he wants to bring more into the spotlight. So I love that he's using this time in his life, his Jupiter return, his second Saturn return, as a way of not only he's having his career kind of, I don't want to say brought back to life, because he's always working on something, again, whether it's on the stage or, you know, some random movie roles, but he's doing for his people, like so Aquarian, and trying to bring his community into the spotlight along with him. Now, from a human design standpoint, Alan has very interesting energetics. Out of the 9 centers that we have in this system, he has 8 of them defined. And this means he has a very strong presence, a very strong aura. Speaking of aura, it does not surprise me at all that he is a generator. He has this ability to go, 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 do, do, do. He has an emotional authority. So being able to feel through all these things, emotions, opportunities. And I just like that in itself seems very actor-y to me. Not that every actor is going to have an emotional authority, but it's going to kind of help you tap into these emotions and understand this full spectrum of emotions that are internally created versus someone who has an undefined solar plexus and does not have an emotional authority. They're here just sampling the emotions of others. Not that those people don't have emotions, but it's not how they process the world. It's not how they feel. They don't feel through life, and he does. And I think that that would be very beneficial for an actor. He has a 6-2 profile. This is known as the role model hermit. It has this energy of trial and error in the first part of your life, then observation in kind of the second stage of your life, and then stepping forward to lead through sharing what you've experienced and observed. And on top of that, the 2 line that was, so the, like, what I was speaking to there was the 6 line energy that he has consciously. And then the 2 line energy that he has in his unconscious or his body is this skill. It's just like innate talent and knack for things. So he probably just picks things up really easily. And again, I love this because here he is in this 55 to 60 year range. So he's 59 right now. He's come down off the roof, so to speak, in the human design system. And he is here to lead. He is here to represent once again for his community to help show others what he's tried, what he's seen, what he wants to bring forward into existence, how he wants the world to be shaped from this knowledge that he has. Another interesting thing about Alan, and okay, I'm going to take these things with a bit of a grain of salt because yes, he does have a double A rating, which means there was a birth certificate involved. However, his time of birth is 8:20 a.m. And it's not that people can't be born at exactly zero or five of any number. Of course, we know babies are being born constantly. But anytime someone has a zero or a five on their birth certificate, it's very likely that the hospital, especially back in the day, so like longer ago, back in the day, it's likely that the nurses or the doctors or whoever wrote that time down rounded. However, I'm going to go with that time because that's what we've got. So with this time, Alan's variables, which speak to so many different parts of your design, and I can't even get into that right now. It rules your environment, your perspective, your motivation, your cognition, your digestion, like, all these elements of you and how you function, how you interact with the world and how you see the world. He's what's known as a quad left. So all of his variables or the arrows that you see around what looks like a head in a human design body graph, they're all pointing to the left. These people, they're very active. Their brains are active. Their bodies are active. It's this very strategic awareness and perception that's tied to your survival instincts. This energy of the quad left is often very much associated with ADHD, or like, I don't want to say misdiagnosed, but many people who are diagnosed with ADHD, when they find human design, it turns out that their variables are quad left. So it's not that you don't have ADHD, it's that this is how you were designed to function, to see the world and to move through it. So these people, they have this ability to hyperfixate on things. They have a razor sharp focus to the point where they may not see anything around what it is that they're focused on, which could be great for an actor because you're truly focused on getting into the role, on all that it entails, on getting your lines down, on like really just diving deep into this thing, which I could also, you know, if we're tying this into astrology, I could see that being that Neptune in Scorpio, that's the apex of his kite. However, it could be problematic or cause difficulties if he's fixated on the wrong thing, because it will keep him from seeing people or situations, etc., in a broader context. So one of those arrows rules environment. The bottom left arrow speaks to your environment. And this is, in human design, kind of a place where we best function, especially it kicks in after your first Saturn return. It is very important for you to be in the correct environment for you. So Alan's environment is what's known in human design as kitchen's environment. What I love about this is that the kitchen environment is all about coming together with others and creating. You don't have to create with them, but it's about coming together and sharing and then creating something. When we think about a kitchen, it's where people congregate and you create food, you create nourishment and sustenance. So the fact that he's an actor, this is totally just such a great environment for an actor, or really like so many different artists. I know a lot of chefs who actually, like, you know, you pull their human design chart and it turns out they have a kitchen's environment. Now, it doesn't mean if you have a kitchen's environment, you need to be a chef, or even that you need to be creative in the sense of an artist, but you will be creating something that is just an environment that you thrive in and that nourishes you and supports you. So I loved that for Alan. When we think about acting, it really is about you're communing with the director, you're communing with the other actors that you're building off of and you know, working with. So very cool. The last thing that I'll speak to from Alan's human design standpoint is his incarnation cross. So this is something, it's not guaranteed to us. Like our profile, no matter what we do or how in alignment we are, we're going to be our profile. Alan cannot help but to be a 6-2. I can't help but to be a 5-2. This is just something that's kind of like baked into us. Now, an incarnation cross, on the other hand, is not guaranteed to us, but it's kind of if we're living in alignment with our energetics, with our body graph, with our design, then what is our purpose on earth? And that's where the incarnation cross comes into play. So if we are in alignment, we will end up living out our incarnation cross. Alan's incarnation cross is called the left angle cross of the alpha. It carries with it a balance between imagination and implementation. So again, we see this element of creativity, but it's using creativity in practical applications. And again, like, and I again want to tie that back to him kind of trying to highlight LGBTQ personalities on this show. Don't get me started on how Peppermint was the first person voted off as a trans Black woman. I mean, that just says something about society and patterns. But anyway, hopefully with Alan at the helm of this show, we will see more people and personalities who don't get a stage in the way that white, cis, hetero people do. Back to his incarnation cross. So this energy is kind of about noticing past patterns in order to lead and imagine a new future. So I love that this is playing out in a more public way as he's going through his Saturn return in Pisces. Again, Pisces about imagination, about creativity, about being able to express yourself. And in his first house, being able to have this visible to us outwardly. So I will leave it there. For more Bravo Astrology content, make sure you follow along on Instagram at the Cosmic Clubhouse. We have a few weeks coming up where it seems like there may not be that much going on Bravo for one. We've got Miami and Beverly Hills coming to an end next week, and then we're going to have the reunions. But other than Potomac and the Traitors, we're going to have some time to talk about other topics. So shoot me a DM if there's something that you would love to hear explained. And also pay attention to stories because I'm going to be putting some polls on there similar to, you know, do you want to hear Alan? I'll give you guys some options and we can co-create some of these next episodes together. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. And go ahead, rate, review, please. It means so much to me and I love to hear your guys' feedback. And go ahead and share this with a friend. Astrology is so much more fun when it's part of a community. Go ahead and send this podcast to a friend who you know is interested in Bravo and or astrology. But for now, I will sign off and see you back here next week. Bye.